Yeah, this was hand, this was film, this gives you the whole everything. And so I agree with you, you are going to have to decide when you do this, how much or how little of this to do, and what's your, how are you going to get there? Because if you're dealing with somebody who doesn't even buy into God, then you probably have even more basic something to share. So I think that's true, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Yes.
How many people are going to say, I don't care about eternal life? You know, what are you going to do when people say, I don't care what happens after
I'm gone? There's a little bit in here that makes them care, or that will begin to help them care. You know, God calls that a law. And so when you share a little bit of law with this, maybe. Then too, we talked that people have that natural understanding of God, whether you call it natural knowledge or just your conscience. And so you might take God a little while to wear that down and to talk to someone's conscience. And there's too, you are just going to have to know. You know, when is this going to be a useful tool, and when might I have to start with something a little more basic?
Yes. No, this was a situation where you could use that with friends, you know, or somebody who's coming over to your house like they did, and you could talk to them, you know, on that kind of basis. But when you go out into the public, into the arena, you have to have something more... Something to catch them. You could ask them, you know, what would happen if you died. And some people would say, yeah, but some would say, I don't care, or I have another God, or I'm going to reincarnate, or... So, it's, because going out house to house, which we did like 3 weeks, and, it was just like,
so you don't have to use these leading questions. They're good questions. Maybe they'll be right. Maybe they won't be. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But it's a valid point. You know, this isn't always going to be the right way. And you don't always have to do all of this either. Kind of working our way this way.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I could see that happening over 3 times or something. I mean, it's tough to just hammer with the sin thing. But I think it's... And it's right, people don't accept that anymore. There's no feeling of I'm accountable to anybody but myself. I might have mentioned this before, but it seems like sometimes, it's where that bridge build, we talk about bridge building, and ideally they're maybe coming to you for asking you a few questions, and well, you know, here's kind of what I've learned, and here's how it works. So, yeah, if you're just kind of the hammer trying to and draw out a bunch of things and shove it in them, it's going to be a lot different than if they're seeking you, maybe.
Right.
And that takes a lot of bridge building. It could be years, I suppose.
Yeah. And I think that's what they tried to show, where, yes, we're sitting in a classroom, yes, we're going through this, but this is where you would use it, with your buddy on the tailgate of the pickup. You know, you're older, you're playing cards, and you're having a few drinks, and, you know, the guy... So it was lighthearted to start with, and I think that's where this can be useful. I've only done it once, only one time. It was on a follow-up visit, and it was at the kitchen table, and I think the mom was more of a Christian than the dad was. And then we were all done, and he said, oh, I've never thought about that before. So I think there's an example where it was more for her, but he said, you know, oh, I've never thought about that before, and he kind of liked it. Like I said, only formally, officially done it one time. But it worked really well. Yes?
I thought one tactic was pretty good that they used is get the guy drinking beer. He'll go for everything.
Interesting strategy. But if you know about a social setting, a relaxed, comfortable social setting, you are going to be able to probably use this more than, you know, in a very formal setting. So, regardless of how painful this is going to be for you, you at your table get to decide who is going to present God's great exchange to you. there's two different scenarios. One is you are staying late after some sort of meeting in the office, and then the other scenario is going to be you are out at a restaurant and you are chatting with the people at the table, or you are having some cocktails up at the bar and you're talking with the bartender, and next thing you know, somehow Jesus comes up because you're at a teacher's conference or whatever. I don't know what it's going to be. But I think here are the basics. You have inside the church brochure, you have the full-blown God's Day Exchange. But I think it's as simple as this. You draw the stick person on one side, and then what does God demand of us? God demands that we are holy. And then if you can grab a Bible passage of some sort, this tells you to use Leviticus 19:2 or Matthew 5:48, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Anything like that. And God wants there to be no sin. And that's okay until God looks at us. And what does God see? Well, God sees a whole bunch of sin. And he sees a lack of holiness. So that's the basic setup. And then it's kind of fun to draw out the other ones, the man-made remedies, and those are in there too. And there's three basic ones. And I think this one is probably, because a number of you said, well, I don't need this. You know, why is this a big deal? You know, as long as you can find someone who is a worse sinner than you, and you stand next to that person in line to get to heaven, then you're going to be okay, right? Because you can compare yourself with that guy. And I think that's probably your connection with people who don't necessarily care. Yes?
I was going to say, I can't see that with that red hand.
No.
Maybe it's just me.
It's just you. No, I'll try the other one. So it's a sick person. It's the same thing that you have in the handout. And over here, God wants there to be holiness. And God wants there to be no sin. Is that any better? Thank you. But when he looks at us, there is no holiness and there is, yes, sin. And so you can try and remedy that in different ways. So there's a comparison game. You know, where that guy's the big sinner and you're not. And then there's the balancing act, which is also in your brochure. And this one too, you admit that, yes, there's some sin. But as long as my good outweighs my sin, everything's going to be fine. And then the other one is try a little harder. You know, so even though God wants you to be perfect, well, as long as I'm here, or if I try hard, I get here, or as long as, again, there's another person down here, you know, then you're going to be okay. Because all God wants from you is to try your best, right? And then you can say, well, none of that works because it doesn't take care of this problem. And so that's kind of your lead, and that's your setup. And then there's some Romans 3 passages in there. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then you can draw a little canyon. This is a fun one to do, too. You draw a little canyon like that. Then you draw a guy on a motorcycle like that. You can even give him a helmet. And then you say, so he's got to jump the cavern. He's got to jump the ravine. And does it matter if he lands here, or here, or here? No. If you don't get to the other side, it's going to hurt. And that's exactly what, none of these do that. None of these get you to the other side, where you need to be. And so then, man's remedies do not work. God's remedy is this.
Press fire.
And so in Jesus, he is holy and he is without sin, and then that's where you draw the great exchange. And so then the holiness and perfection comes over here, and then my sin goes over there, and then you can start erasing stuff. And so now we are no longer sinful, so this is true, and we are holy because we get it from Jesus. And that's the great exchange. And it's that simple. So you can do as much as one stick person, one cross, and two arrows, and you're done. Or you can do as much as write down all the passage references. You can write down little summaries for the passages, depending on how much time you have, maybe how much interest there is. You can draw all these. You can make up your own. to say, see, none of this works, and this works much better. And then you can throw a little, when you get into the deeper discussions, you can say, well, this happens through the means of grace. Well, what are that? And then you get a chance to talk about word and sacrament. So this is, you have the full-blown outline. They did even more than the full-blown outline. So now it's up to you to take this and make it yours, because some of you are going to be staying late in the office. And so you have paper to write on. Swipe it from the office. So you have paper. And others of you are going to be at the restaurant, and all you have are napkins and the crayons that came with the kids menu. So find somebody at the table who is brave enough to draw it out from the rest of the people at your table. And if you don't have anybody like that at the table, then you could join another table, I guess. So you need to choose restaurant or office and draw this out. You're not necessarily volunteering yourself.
There is something.
You're staying late at the office. Which would you? We have kids. You're at the restaurant. And so you are not necessarily far out of your
pastor.
You're at the restaurant, or are you staying late at the office? Alright, so your chance with the copy is this. So give it a whirl. Somebody at the table will be brave enough to say, sure, I'll do this.
Jesus.
Do you know where that was from? From when?
Yeah.
I saw my art there too.
Did you?
It was famous.
You're famous.
Good. My overtime was not like checked last
week.
Someone makes another pot of coffee. So what do you say to God?
I think God is holy God.
Nothing
less.
Another way of actually you had some cancer in your life.
So there's even soothing background music playing in the restaurant. Everything's fine. You're gonna get through it.
Oh, So you worked with this.
If I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have about 10 minutes left, and I do want to talk about some of the board outreach stuff that we have available for you. We have a good comment over here that sometimes you don't have the chance to do all this, and maybe it's just a lifestyle witnessing, and so that's very valid. The point of this is, when you get a chance, you have a tool. And maybe it's not going to work for you, maybe it does. It's just one of many that you can use. Somebody brought up another one, feel felt found. And this is just a more of a validating approach. And this doesn't just work, this works for sales too, if you want to go and do sales. In fact, there's a really good video. If you Google this, feel felt found, and then you can see how different people will use it in the business world too. But what this does is you validate, and you're not alone. Here's what I found works. So I understand how you feel. Many people have felt that way. You are not weird. You are not alone. Even Christians feel this way too. So I understand how you feel. Many people felt that way. I've found this. So, you know, I don't know what to do. Grandma's in the hospital again. And the family's all crabby. They're all fighting it, you know, and nobody knows what to do. And we're all scared. I understand how you feel. You know, many people have felt that way. I felt that way when I broke my leg, or, you know, when this happened in my family. So you validated. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. You are not weird. You just happen to live in a world. And what I found was, what really calmed my family down is when our pastor came over and he just shared a little bit of God's word and had a little prayer with us, and then everybody was a lot more calm. So even if they could care less about Jesus, it just gave you a chance to say, here's what I found really helped. And so then it gives you a chance to, this is more of a bridge building approach too. Yes?
That saying, I know how you feel, I read and said that to a couple of people. And they said, no, you don't know how to feel. Even when I lost my husband, somebody else could lose their husband the same way. But
we would both feel different. And so some people get offended and say, I know how you feel,
and you feel because you really don't. So I think it all depends on the situation.
Exactly. You have a very valid point. And in that case, you wouldn't say, yes, I do. You're going to listen to what I found. And then in that case, you probably seem to be more understanding and say, yeah, I'm sorry, you know, I don't. And then if you say, then just show that you care and you listen, then you could say, well, I found my situation, and maybe this will help, too.
Yes. Maybe instead of saying, I know how you feel, is if you can relate to that loss or whatever it is, to say, well, this is how I felt, and then maybe that will get them talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, you don't have to do it exactly like this, and definitely if someone says, no, you don't. Yeah. So God, grace, faith, and feel felt found. You know, just a couple. My guess is if you would go and you would, you know, hunt out online different witnessing approaches, you could probably find a bunch. And it doesn't hurt to have a couple in your pocket. Yes.
Another thing maybe is there's a difference between like outreach and evangelism. And so, you know, there's just ways of reaching out that don't immediately lead to evangelism. If, I remember when I was a little, no, maybe not a little kid, but I was maybe like 10, 12. At church, we went, just cleaned up this old lady's yard. It was bad. Her husband had died, whatever, not mowed, weeds. We just cleaned it up. We didn't leave behind tracks. Nobody asked her if she died that night. What's going to happen? That was it. We just reached out, and that was it. And then, you know, just kind of bridge building, right? So I think there's the outreach piece, and then there's the, I mean, we're hitting the evangelism. This is the important part. This is the walking across the bridge.
Yeah.
But not everybody's always gifted at the same stuff.
It's important to see the value of both. There's value in outreach, and then there's value in evangelism.
There's eternal value.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But bridge building is important. It is. That's where you get the trust to do this. Okay, so two job opportunities for you to think about. One, we have a greeter program, and that's important for outreach. You know, you are not necessarily going to stop people at the door. Oh, you're a visitor. Let me share that great thing with you. Here you go. You're going to hell. So a greeter program is a really good way for you to be involved with outreach and evangelism at St. Mark's. And it's as simple as, especially if you have kids, if you have a family, you know, hi, you know, welcome to St. Mark's, and then they go in. So that's a really great job that the Board of Outreach has for you. And the people who have done it, I don't think, nobody has said, I'm sorry I did that, and I'm quitting because I can't do that. So it's a very enjoyable job, it's a fun job. You get to stand outside, you don't have to be inside where it gets warm and stuffy. That's the best part about being a greeter. So there's a good job for you. Another one is to help us groom our prospect list. A prospect is somebody who has some sort of connection with St. Mark's. Typically, they come to worship and they left us some contact information. And so there's various steps that we take. One would be to call them after they worship at St. Mark's. And so, for example, you would get a phone call from Mrs. Taylor and say, here's the contact information for this person who called. And then you pick up the phone and say, we would give you a script, and you say, thank you for worshiping at St. Mark's. You know, how was this? Wasn't Pastor awesome? And, what? And here's maybe two things that we have coming up. And so it would be some sort of follow-up over the phone. So that might be a job that you like, especially if you don't want to go to knock on someone's door. Another one would be to help us keep more constant contact with our prospective members. Maybe writing them greeting cards or sending them email to let them know what's going on. Or maybe adopt a few people on our prospect list just so that we can get more use out of this. So I have my eye on some of you, and so you might be getting a phone call for that. But if that's something that you think, yeah, I could do that, or, and this is not a cop-out, but if you genuinely say, I know somebody who would be perfect at talking on the phone, then go say, hey, Pastor was talking about this, and the Board of Outreach needs this, and I think you would be good for this job. Yes.
Do we have anything like that for lapsed members?
Sometimes. It's the Encouragers program. And so if that's something that you're interested in, that's more of a Board of Elders issue, but we can definitely improve that program too. Yes.
Well, so I was going to say a few words about the prospect. I happen to be on Dave's team. And the prospect list, we just pulled it. It has 308 lines on it. Some of them are as far back as 2007, did we find? A lot of duplicates. So some of it's just maybe getting it organized. And then really, I think what we had in mind when we talked at our last meeting was, I mean, it literally just is, hey, Jacob, thanks for visiting. You know, got your contact card. Just want to let you know. We know who you are. We've got you. Is there any needs you have? Can I give you Pastor's number? Anything like that. And by the way, coming up, we've got, you know, whatever, the school play, or we've got something like that. So just want to let you know you're always welcome here, invited. That's it. No great exchange. No if you died tonight. Anything like that. So, you know, I think it's a pretty easy job. You also, you don't have to come on campus and all that. So if you can do it from your own house. So I'll put on my extra commercial there.
Definitely.
I'm kind of trying to get it revived.
It's all on you.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a good opportunity. We're tweaking what we've done in the past a little bit.
Yes. To go on the greeters again. If you have a family, there's nothing wrong with kids being greeted with you. Do that. I think it's even better. When, you know, if you have a family, it's if the kids want that. There's nothing worse than the kids sitting there, you know. They know that they're being forced. But if they want, we've got a couple. Hannah Burke works with Ellie. than she does grieving now. I mean, hey, you know, it's nothing wrong. Some people pass by, and when I've done it, I said, oh, have you met Anna? Because, you know, the kids aren't going to be aggressive, but I think people will appreciate that. So, I mean, if there's Austin's and grieving is easy, hello, how hard is that?
Pride them with ice cream. Pride the kids with ice cream. Or threaten them. I really enjoyed our Holy Five study. I enjoyed the order with you. That's all I got. Thank you. Appreciate that. God bless your worship if you're going to worship now, or God bless the rest of you over the morning and evening if you're heading out. If you, I do not have a formal sign-up sheet, so you can come and track me down.
Walking sign-up sheets.
Yes. Dave has the sign-up sheet.
I
sent
up Hannah and Heidi.
They do a good job.
Okay. Don't do like this, pick up those things.